Okay, so I'll get started. I'm Thomas Wubben, as stated earlier. I'm from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and you can see that my collaborators are from a multitude of institutions. So thank you for coming this morning slash this afternoon to hear our project entitled The Pilsen Eye Study, Understanding the Perceived Barriers and Benefits to the Treatment of Presbyopia in Inner City Hispanic Community. Like most, I have no relationships to disclose. So let's begin. So presbyopia, as we've heard a little bit in the previous talks, is the diminished ability of the eye to focus on near objects. And it's a universal part of the aging experience, usually becoming noticeable around the age of 40. Near visual acuity, which presbyopia impairs, is required for many daily activities besides just reading. And it's common and easy to treat, yet many communities lack basic eye care, and subsequently many needlessly suffer from this impairment. To that end, in the recent years, multiple studies have been done in the developing world looking at presbyopia and its impact on quality of life. And in these studies, they've seen that the prevalence of presbyopia in these developing countries is high, spectacle coverage is low, and presbyopia is associated with impairment in near vision related tasks, some of which may hinder one's ability to earn a living. Now, only a few, approximately five studies, have really looked at presbyopia in the States, and only two of those, marked out in red, have commented on presbyopia's effect on the quality of life. Furthermore, none of these studies have looked at a predominantly resource-poor population. Therefore, the study that I'm going to talk about is the first study to examine the impact of presbyopia on a resource-poor population in the United States, specifically in the Pilsen neighborhood, which is on the south side of Chicago. Now, ethnic data wasn't collected per se, but Pilsen is a predominantly poor Hispanic community, not unlike many of the communities that are popping up all over the country in our major cities. So it kind of provides a snapshot look into that. Now, during our study, we employed a simple and cost-effective intervention to rapidly dispense reading glasses to achieve the best-corrected binocular near-visual acuity, while also surveying the perceived barriers and benefits to obtaining access to vision care, and specifically the treatment of presbyopia, with our overall goal of educating patients about presbyopia and access to vision care. In our study, we looked at patients greater than 4 years old who had without anatomical visual impairment or blindness. These patients had near visual acuity exams and subsequently fitted with reading glasses between +1 and +3.5. Now, with limited time and resources, no detailed ophthalmic exam or refraction was performed, so we utilized the functional definition of presbyopia, meaning that these patients had impairment in their near visual acuity binocularly that could be improved by placing a plus lens in front of the eye. Verbal informed consent was obtained for their survey, and our survey was based off of the NEI VFQ, and protocols were approved by the USC-IRB. So over the span of our outreach, greater than 300 patients were fitted with reading glasses, and of these, 133 decided to participate in our survey. And the mean age of our population was about 55 years old, plus or minus 9 years, with a slightly predominance in females. We also saw that greater than 70% of our population was unemployed, and the baseline uncorrected near visual acuity for our population was about 0.39 plus or minus 0.23, which is about 20/50. Putting that into perspective, is right around where you start having trouble reading small print, such as in the newspaper. We also see that our median was a little less than our mean, and as seen in the histogram, suggesting that the majority of our population actually had a uncorrected near visual acuity less than the mean. What we also saw was employment status had no effect on the baseline uncorrected near visual acuity. Now, while studies in the 50s and 60s alluded to the possibility that socioeconomic status may be associated with the onset of and progression of presbyopia, our results correlate better with a more recent study done, I believe, in the late 90s out of the University of Alabama that saw no correlation between presbyopia and socioeconomic status. With regards to our population's familiarity with eye care and spectacles, about 68% of our population had been examined by an eye doctor in the past. This again correlates with a study done in 2007 that looked at the utilization of eye care services in a inner city, low income, multi-ethnic population that also was about greater than 70% unemployed. And what both of these percentages point out, while greater than half of the population utilized the services, it's still suboptimal utilization of eye care services for these high-risk populations, considering this is mostly African-American and Hispanic, who are at a greater risk of blindness and visual impairment from such things we discussed already as from glaucoma and diabetes. Therefore, this kind of points out the importance of educating patients as well as physicians on the access to care and eye health in general. And what we see here also is that we did see that employment status affected the utilization of eye care services by our population, where about 80% of those employed had utilized services, about less than two-thirds of our unemployed had utilized services. And this has been seen in previous studies of presbyopia in the developing world, specifically in Timor-Leste. Besides the utilization of care or eye care services, we also see that about 60% of our population had a prior pair of reading glasses, and greater than 90% of those who did have a prior pair had purchased them. Yet, greater than 43% of our population who did purchase them spent greater than $10 on a pair of reading glasses, which, when taken into account with our population's perception of the barriers to the treatment of presbyopia, kind of points towards the direction of knowledge and awareness being an issue. So as seen here, when asked to what degree does cost or availability prevent you from obtaining treatment for presbyopia, 49% of our population stated that cost greatly impeded them from obtaining treatment. Yet 48% also stated that availability greatly prevented them from obtaining treatment. What we also see here is we have a bimodal distribution of responses, you know, weighted at both ends of the spectrum. Coupling that with the fact that greater than 40% had spent greater than $10 on a pair of reading glasses, and the fact that a dollar store resided right next to where this outreach took place, which does sell reading glasses, really points to the idea that knowledge and awareness is a contributing factor in this population. Now, with insight into how our population utilize services and their perceived barriers, I want to now change gears a little and look at the impact of our simple and cost-effective intervention. Not surprising, uncorrected near visual acuity decreased with age, and subsequently the reading glasses power suggested increased with age. But most importantly, though, upon application of reading glasses, 80% of our population was able to correct to 20/25 or better, and 53% were able to be fully corrected to 20/20 near. Now, employment status had no impact on the ability of readers to improve near vision in our population. So this slide really just points out how easily this condition can be remedied with a simple, cost-effective intervention with limited time and resources. Now, with regards to the quality of life, 78% of our population stated they had at least moderate degree of difficulty reading small print, such as in a newspaper. But as seen here in this bar graph, you know, they believe that the reading glasses would greatly impact their ability to do so in the future. Hence, reading glasses are aptly named. What you also see here is there was relatively less impact perceived for other tasks or daily tasks, such as, you know, cooking, using hand tools, and grooming, which will come up in a later slide as well. So, like most studies, ours had its limitations, obviously. We performed neither an ophthalmic exam or refraction due to the limited resources and time, and therefore, individuals may have other refractive errors in addition to presbyopia, hence our functional definition. We had limited sample size, so the study was not powered to perform multivariate analysis. There may have been some responder bias considering the participants knew they'd be receiving reading glasses, but we did dispense the reading glasses prior to asking the participants, you know, would you take this survey? And finally, this is most likely not a population-based study, so the results may not apply to all such communities. You have to realize that we did hold this at the Employment Service Office and in the Pilsen neighborhood, suggesting that our 70% unemployment rate in such a community may be on the high end, so this may be representing the worst case scenario, but it does point out the idea that knowledge and awareness is a major issue here. But even with these limitations, you saw that our intervention had a substantial impact on the near visual acuity of our participants. So, in conclusion, we utilize a simple and cost-effective intervention to rapidly dispense reading glasses to correct near visual acuity. We were able to obtain reading glasses at less than a dollar per pair, and with minimal time, resources, and personnel, many people received care that would have not otherwise. We also surveyed the barriers and benefits of our population, and what we saw, as seen earlier, was a bimodal distribution of the responses concerning cost and availability, coupled with the high amount that they were paying for their prior glasses, really suggested that knowledge and awareness needs to be the main issue here. Hence, our goal of eye health education and our future goal of eye health education, we need to target both patients and physicians, has been a common theme in previous talks as well. And we need to encourage utilization of vision care services by these high-risk populations especially. And I did put together a flyer here that could it's written at less than the eighth grade level. I have it up here if you want to look at it or take one later. They can be easily employed in family physician offices, primary care physician offices, even community health centers. And it really points towards, obviously, what is presbyopia to bring knowledge, but it also encourages utilization of eye care services and can be a good talking point between patient and physician. Now, before I go, I do want to mention that we are performing we do have an ongoing study, an international study, in Nueva Vizcaya in the Philippines, and it's been going on for about 2 years now, actually 3 years. Our first year was a pilot. And in this time period, greater than 1,200 people have received reading glasses at no charge, and as seen in this presentation, the intervention had similar impact on near visual acuity. We have not addressed employment differences yet to this point. In the Nueva Vizcaya, cost was perceived to be a greater barrier than availability, and spectacles were perceived to impact tasks other than just reading, which could show, obviously, cultural differences between, obviously, the states and a developing country like the Philippines. And Nueva Vizcaya is a very rural population up in the mountains. So, obviously, eye health education is always our main goal, but especially in these developing worlds, our main goal is to set up a sustainable entity, really, to look at improving near vision for a long span. So, with that said, I'd like to acknowledge, obviously, the nursing students and the faculty at UIC who helped make this outreach possible. I want to thank the Illinois Department of Employment Security, as well as the National ABLE Network, who allowed me to perform this outreach in Pilsen. And finally, my program, who provides me funding, while minimal as it may be. So, thank you.